Well, good morning, Elk Point Community Church. I just have something to say to you this morning. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you so much for joining us here Easter Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And as I was preaching through 2 Peter before last week, before Palm Sunday, the week before, I decided that I would take a little break from that and I would do a little series that was specific to Easter, but maybe not the traditional type of series. But I had the opportunity to focus on one theme for the week, and that theme is the superiority of Christ. And so we've spent some time looking at that, and if you'll recall, last week in church, we're on the recorded sermon here, I shared the fact that three times in Matthew, in this particular account, around the sign of Jonah, Jesus shared, "Something greater is here." He said that. He said that to the scribes and Pharisees and the Sadducees. Something greater than the temple is here. Something greater than the prophet Jonah is here. Something greater than King Solomon is here. And he was speaking of himself and how the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees missed who he was and the significance of the fact that God was standing there in front of them in the flesh. So again, our theme for this Easter and this resurrection celebration is that Jesus is better. He's better. Now, on Good Friday, if you were here, I think you probably were encouraged by the verses that we shared. I shared how Christ is a better sacrifice. Today, I'm going to be continuing that by sharing that Christ is a better source of hope. Now, we all put our hope somewhere. And what the Bible is telling us today in these verses is that Christ is a better place for us to put our hope than anywhere else, or anything else, or anyone else. Now, we're going to examine various verses in Hebrews. I'd like to begin by giving you the outline for the sermon, and then we'll pray and we'll get into it. So first of all, like I said, we're looking at various verses, so it's like a kind of a guided tour through Hebrews. We won't get the full book. I'm not giving a full outline of the book, but kind of focusing on this one idea. And what I'm looking for in particular is ways that Jesus is a better source of hope. And I'm going to give you five. Five ways that Jesus is a better source of hope. And then in response to that, there are three things that we should do because Jesus is a better source of hope. And then finally, we are going to pray and then we are going to go and live that out. And if you have the opportunity to fellowship with people that you're watching this with, then between praying and living it out, spend some time talking about it, about how you can live this out and encourage one another to do that. And I think as part of the message, you'll see why that encouragement is so important. So let's just go ahead and let's just take a moment to pray before we dig in. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this time, Lord. I ask that you would bless it. I ask that you would use it in our lives to draw us closer to you, to equip us and strengthen us. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, let's begin our tour here in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews chapter 6, 11 and 12. "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, let me just start with this idea of showing the same earnestness, because you'd have to look back at the previous verses to see that he was commending the people he was writing to for their service to the saints. So for their service to their fellow believers, they were giving of themselves unselfishly, and he was commending them for that. So now what he's doing in this verse is he is exhorting them to persevere in that to the very end. And that's a key part of our faith as Christians, is perseverance. We persevere in the faith. Now, this brings us to really our theme that we're talking about. We're looking at hope. We're looking at five ways that Jesus is a greater hope. And we see some mention of hope here. He says, "But to have the full assurance of hope until the end." Now, hope comes from the Greek word elpos, elpos. And what that means is, it's often translated hope, but it also means expectation, trust, confidence. So it's like a strong hope. It's a hope that you expect this to happen. So when we have hope in God and his promises, it's not like we're saying, oh, yeah, I just kind of hope that'll happen. But we expect those things to happen. That's what a biblical hope looks like. And that's why it's connected to full assurance. So there's a connection there. Full assurance. Full assurance, again, it's confident in God's promises. That's what you are. It's like confidence. It's that you are completely convinced that his word is true. And this is what God wants for us. You know, think about where we are right now. We are celebrating his resurrection. He wants us to have confidence in his resurrection. He wants us to have confidence in the promises that he made to us in his word. I think it also is along the lines of maturity in our doctrine. Maturity in our doctrine. And as an example of that, I just want to mention Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, where it says that we're not to be carried away by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And that describes the person that is not sound in their doctrine, but they're just blown around here and there by the latest thing that they hear. And more than ever today, we need to make sure that we're not people like this. We need to be sound in doctrine. And I think also the full assurance is an absolute certainty that you have been born again because you trust God and his promises. So there's an absolute certainty in that. Now, finally, as you look at that and you look at the full assurance of hope, he says that you're not sluggish. That's also sometimes translated slothful or lazy. Now, if we have the full assurance of hope in God and his promises, that energizes us. It energizes us to serve him and to live for him and not to dwell on the negative. But because we have the full assurance of his promises, which are great, we can continue on and we'll persevere. And that's why this whole thing here, again, is an exhortation to perseverance, this verse. But we see the beginning of what I'm going to talk about today in hope, in assurance that we need as Christians and why Jesus is a greater source. And I'm going to get to that. But let's move ahead a little bit to verse 17 here in chapter 6. It says, so when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Now, so here he's talking about the promises that he made with the covenant, the old covenant, and he mentions two unchangeable things. I think the key to understanding this, that what he's talking about here, is to understand what those two unchangeable things are. The first unchangeable thing is the promise that he made. He made a promise, and he said, this is what's going to happen. And the second unchangeable thing was that he made an oath. He made an oath that he would keep his promise. Now, we need to keep this in mind. God didn't need to make an oath. God didn't need to do that. God did that to give strong encouragement to us and so that we would hold fast to hope. That's what it says there. It says that he might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. So God did that to give encouragement. Now, I think, though, when we look at this, this is going to give us our first reason that Jesus is a better source of hope. He's a better source of hope than anyone else. Jesus is a better source of hope because God's character is unchanging. We see that here in this passage. God's character is unchanging. That was in the previous verse right before this. Because God's character is unchanging, his promises don't shift. They're sure. We can count on them. Also, it says here, God makes these promises. God doesn't lie. And elsewhere in Scripture, it says God doesn't change his mind. So God's promises, once again, they're sure. And then finally, I'd like to just add in this. This isn't mentioned here in the Scripture, but we can really certainly see this lots of other places in Scripture. So I would say this is definitely backed up, that God is the only one who can absolutely keep his promises and back up his promises because he has the power to do that. And so those are the reasons, those just some evidence for the fact that Jesus is a better source of hope because his promises are sure. They're always sure. So going on in verse 19, it says, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So when we look at that verse, I would ask, who is it that entered into the inner place behind the curtain? Who was it that did that? And it's answered here, it was Jesus. So our hope is Jesus. Our hope is Jesus. Now, just one more detail before I get into this and share, you know, why he's a better source of hope than anything else. It says, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, talking about Jesus. Now, remember, Melchizedek is a figure that appeared in Genesis and is also mentioned in Psalms and Hebrews. Those are the only places in the Bible that he's mentioned. And without going into too much detail about Melchizedek, you could study about Melchizedek. He is either the pre-incarnate Christ or he is a type of Christ, meaning that his life really resembled Christ. I myself, because of the strength of what's said about Melchizedek, leading toward the fact that he's the pre-incarnate Christ. But there are plenty of Christians that think otherwise, and it's not something to divide over. But it says that he, Jesus, became a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And what that means is the order of Melchizedek was a different order of priesthood than the order of the Old Covenant and Aaron's priesthood. And so the scripture talks about that. So Jesus became a priest after the order of Melchizedek based on an indestructible life, is what the scripture tells us. So now I'd like to share with you the second reason I see in this passage why Jesus is a better source of hope. And that is because he will never be moved or replaced. He will never be moved or replaced. It says he is sure. He is a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. So the picture is if you put a ship out in the water and the ship needs to stay where it is and there are strong winds blowing it, it needs to be anchored down with something much more fixed and much more steady and much stronger than it is to hold it in place. And that's what Jesus does for us. He is the ultimate anchor that we can have that gives stability to our life and keeps us fixed and keeps us from being spiritually blown to and fro, like the verse I mentioned, and just going through the various storms and trials that we'll go through. He keeps us safe and he keeps us from being blown away spiritually. And this is very, very significant. Now, it also says that in that he is our sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. He has entered into the inner place behind the curtain. So he's gone in to the Holy of Holies on our behalf, and he has become a priest, it said, in the order of Melchizedek, forever. So he is a better source of hope, not only because he's that anchor that we need, but he's also our forever priest. And no one is going to move him out of the way. No one is going to replace him. No one is going to supersede him. He will always be there for us, and we can always count on him. And the thing is, we put our hope in so many other things in this world that are not able to really always be there for us like Christ can be there for us. So in that way, Christ is so much of a better source of hope. Now we're going to move ahead to verse 722, where it says, "This makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant." A better covenant. So here we see Jesus is a better source of hope because he is the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, we should understand that this is contrasting the old covenant and the new covenant. The covenant God made with Abraham, the covenant God made with Moses, that covenant with the new covenant. So the new covenant is better. Well, how is it better? It is better in that more of God is revealed. More of God is revealed. So he's revealed more of himself in this new covenant so we can know God more fully. It also has a better priesthood because Jesus is our high priest. So we have a better high priest in that way. And then we have within that the priesthood of all believers who are equipped by the indwelling Holy Spirit. So we have that, and it's better in that. And it's also better in that we have direct access to the Father because of this. That's one of the ways that it's better. And I would also say it's better in purpose and effectiveness, in that it really is able to deal with sin. And the old covenant was made just to show us that we need the new covenant, and it pointed to the new covenant. The old covenant, the new covenant is what we really needed. So Jesus is a better source of hope because he is the guarantor of a better covenant. So keep that in mind there. It goes on, it says, the former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. And we mentioned that in the previous verse. So that's another reason why Jesus is a better source of hope. So consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. This is the fourth way that Jesus is a better source of hope. He always lives to make intercession. He says he is able to save. Nothing out there can save but Jesus. Just Jesus. He saves those, it says here, who draw near to him, draw near to God through him, through Jesus. That's who's being saved. And it says that he always, always lives to make intercession. So he's always doing this. He lives to do this. This is his purpose. This is what he always does. So what does it mean to make intercession? It means that he's praying for us, and it means that he's interceding for us. He's helping us. He's coming really to our rescue in ways that we have no idea just how much he's involved with us in our lives. But it says he lives to make intercession. Now, I can think of a small example of that. As parents, sometimes we just live for our kids. And we live for our kids to have the very best and to be the very best. And I think we can understand that as parents. Jesus is like that. Jesus lives for us. He lives to make intercession for us as his children, those who draw near to him. So now let's move ahead to chapter 10, verse 19. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. So not only did Jesus go into the holy places, but he provides a way for us to go, and that's through his blood. And it's truly amazing part of this. And as we can see, Jesus is a better source of hope. This is the fifth way. Jesus is a better source of hope because he is the way to the Father. So when you think about going into the holy places, it's like we go into the holy place where not everyone can go. And then we go into the most holy place, which was reserved for a very select few. But because of what Christ has done, we can all enter that through faith. And when we go into the most holy place, we are going to God. We are going to his throne. We are going to him, and Jesus has given us access to the Father by shedding his own blood for us on the cross. And so we have that, and it reminds us of John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, and the way came through his blood and his work at the cross. We should notice another reason, though, in that, where Jesus is, this is just a subpoint of the fifth reason Jesus is a better source of hope, is that not only does he give us access to the Father, but he gives us access with confidence. We could confidently go to the throne of God here. We see that. We can confidently enter into the most holy place. Now this continues and says, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, we're shifting gears a little bit here in this. We've covered the five ways that Jesus is a better source of hope. And now we're looking at the three things that we should do because he's a better source of hope. Now, in this verse, we can see because Jesus is a better source of hope, it says, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And then it describes with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. God is the one that does that for us. And it happens when we are born again. We have faith in Christ. God washes away our sins. He applies Christ's sacrifice to us. So as you think about what we need to do, though, what we're called to do, because Jesus is a better source of hope, let us draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance. That's what we need to do because Jesus is a better source of hope. We need to draw near to him. And he promises in Scripture that if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And we draw near to God in faith. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment here. But we draw near to God. And we do that by believing his word, by expecting it to come true, by trusting him, by looking ahead, by having this great hope. So we draw near to God in that. Then it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Because Jesus is a better source of hope, we need to hold fast to hope. Because he's a better source of hope. That's what we need to do. We need to hold fast to hope. Holding fast is like adhering to that, not letting go. Right? I always think about the time when my friend would pull me around in an inner tube on his ski boat and how hard it was to hold on. But I think that when we're being blown away to and fro, that we need to hold on to our hope in the Lord. Now, ultimately, he's holding on to us, so that's a good thing. I always remember that, too. But we need to hold on, and sometimes it's going to feel like we're being blown off or pushed off or G-forces are working against us. Okay, but we need to hold on. We need to hold on here. It had mentioned earlier to our hope, and here it also mentions that we need to hold fast to the confession of our hope. So having hope and faith in Christ, it is very important that we make a public confession of that. I don't mean you have to go out and just say that to random strangers, but you know, as you speak to others and you're part of a church and you share and you come and share your testimony with somebody that you have come to a saving faith in Christ and that you are a believer and you make a confession of your faith, and even baptism is a part of that, that you make this public announcement that you are a follower of Christ. Then he says what you need to do is hold fast to that hope you have and hold fast to that confession of hope that you've made. And so we're called to do that because Jesus is a better source of hope. We need to hold fast to it. We need to hold fast to it. And then in 24 it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Because Jesus is a better source of hope, we need to share hope with others. Listen to that again. Because Jesus, this is the third thing we need to do. Because Jesus is a better source of hope, we need to share hope with others. Now, how do we do that? It's mentioned here. It says, don't neglect to meet. It is very important that we as believers meet together because that's how we share our hope with one another. Now, we're also going to share our hope with non-believers. We're going to share our hope with people that challenge our faith. And in 1 Peter 3:15, we see we're going to do that with gentleness and respect. But a key way that we share our faith, that we need to share our faith, is by gathering together. So he says this in Scripture, not neglecting to meet. Not neglecting to meet. And that's why this is a very difficult time, this time where people are processing what's going on with COVID and what the government's telling us to do and what the medical field's telling us to do or not do, all right, versus what God tells us to do. Now, we need to be meeting with someone somehow. If we are not meeting with other believers somehow and we have checked out of that, then we are neglecting this command that God has given us. And so we need to be meeting somehow. And so if you're out there watching this video because you feel like you need to be home, we understand that. We support you in that. But if that's what you're doing, you need to be meeting with someone somehow. And if you're not, you're being disobedient to God and what he commands here. And you're not responding to the hope he has because you have hope to share with other people if you are in Christ. And also, you need to be encouraged by other people. So you got to be interacting with other believers. However you do that. And we primarily choose here to put that of first importance above the virus and things like that, knowing that this is a command that God has given us that is more important than us being safe, than us being safe. That is our conviction here, you know, just as the people that are gathering and are doing that. Now, again, I say that with full respect to those who stay home and think differently. I understand that people are thinking differently, but I won't back down on the fact that God has commanded you and God has commanded me to not neglect to meet with other believers, because we have hope to share, hope in Christ, and we got to make sure that we're doing that. So he says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the situation with COVID and so many of the other situations in our country should show us that the day is drawing near. And that should give you all the more reason to see that you need to share the hope that you have. And you need to be encouraged by hope that other people have. And so keep that in mind. Because Jesus is a better source of hope, we need to share that hope with others. And I'd like to end the verses that we're going to look at by looking at verses 11:1 and 11:6. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What do we hope for? We hope in the promises of God. We expect them to happen. We're certain that we're going to happen. And faith, it says, is the assurance of that. So we've been talking really in a lot of ways about faith all along here. And faith and hope are intimately connected. In fact, it describes it here as hope being a component of our faith. You don't have faith without hope. You don't have faith without eagerly expecting God to keep his promises, and you're looking forward to it, and you realize that the best is yet to come. You realize that this isn't it. You realize that it isn't over. You realize that God is going to keep his word, and there's so much good out there. That's the hope that we have. And it's a component of our faith. And if you just look at hope, you know, that's not enough, just hope. But faith, the full picture of faith, is what we need to draw near to God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So, again, hope is a component of our faith. Without faith, we can't please God. We must believe that he exists. We must believe that he rewards those who draw near to him and those who seek him. And so, without faith and without hope, it's really impossible to please God. And so, when we think about being slothful, being negative, focus on only the negative, not trusting God, maybe it's being fearful when we think about that. Those are the things that are in opposition to hope. And those are the things that are in opposition to us drawing near to God. And those are the things that are in opposition to us pleasing God. And so I hope that as we look at this, that this really encourages us to find the hope that's in Christ and to hold on to it and to not let it go and to not let other things come in and allow them to be more powerful forces in our lives than hope is. Hope needs to be much more powerful force in your life than fear. Amen? Can I get an amen? Can you give me an amen across the video here? Hope needs to be a more powerful force in your life than fear. Now, let's just recap those. I put them all on the screen all at once here. I'm just going to say these real fast again. Remember, Jesus is a better source of hope, because his promises are sure. His promises are sure. Jesus is a better source of hope because he will never be moved or replaced. He's a priest forever. He's an anchor of the soul that cannot be moved, an anchor for the soul. Jesus is a better source of hope because he is the guarantor of a better covenant. The new covenant is better. There wouldn't have been a new covenant if the old covenant was sufficient, but the old covenant was to point us to the new covenant and to show us that we needed a better deal with God. Jesus is a better source of hope because he always lives to make intercession. And he's doing that right now. He's making intercession on my behalf and on your behalf. He lives to do that, and he always does that. Jesus is a better source of hope because he is the way to the Father. Not a way, he's the way. And it's by his blood that we can enter the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of God. Can you imagine what good news that is today as we focus on his resurrection? Because Jesus is a better source of hope here, let us, remember, draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance, full confidence in him. We draw near to him. Sincerity of heart, but confidence in him. Let us hold fast to our hope. Let us not let go. Let us not let other things come in and become stronger forces in our life. And let us remember that it's God's faithfulness which is the reason for our steadfastness. And it is what empowers us to be steadfast. And then finally, because Jesus is a better source of hope, let us share that hope with others. Don't neglect to meet. Don't neglect to encourage other believers. Don't neglect to be encouraged by other believers. And you need to remember to do this all the more as you see the day drawing near. So there you go. I've shared with you five ways that Jesus is a better source of hope and three things that we need to do because of that. Let's pray. Let's ask God to teach us how to do that. And then let's go out and let's do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that we can celebrate the fact that you sent your Son and that Jesus, you died on the cross for our sins and that you were dead for 3 days and on the third day that you rose again. And because you came out of the grave, we know that you conquered sin and you conquered death. And you are our hope. You are a living hope. And we thank you for that. And we praise you for that. And we ask you today to fill us with this hope, to wipe away the fear, to wipe away the discouragement, to wipe away the ways that we've become impatient with our situation and where we are, and to emulate those that have gone before us, that have been faithful, impatient in walking with you and following you. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, God. Now, I hope that you will have a great rest of the day and that you will share the hope that you have in Jesus Christ with someone else today. Thank you so much and we look forward to seeing you and to fellowshipping with you in the near future. God bless.